We just sang, I love Him. There is a great advantage to being raised in the church. Because when you hear choruses like, I love Him, I love Him, it takes me back a long way. I've been singing that song for 60 years, at least. We were told we can't sing them anymore by officials. In our own fellowship, we are told you don't sing those songs anymore because you don't love lost people. Well, let me tell you, somebody lost can sing I love Jesus too and get to love Him. Just we were told, just because it's comfortable for you doesn't mean it is. Well, honey, I'm going to preach here in a minute. We have got things backwards. You don't appeal to the sinner. You appeal to God and let God deal with the sinner. We've got unholy teaching that says make your church so it's comfortable for the sinner. Absolutely not. We want to make it comfortable for the Holy Spirit. Who wants a church when a sinner comes in and they're comfortable? That's not why you bring your relatives to church that are not saved. You want them to sweat. Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, shout that you love me from the rooftops. He didn't even say, write a song that says that you love me. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Henceforth, we should know the commandments of Jesus. They are found in your Bible in the first four books in the red letters. Those are His commandments. And He says, if you will love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father. Thank you, disciples. Perhaps Jesus was waiting after He ascended to the Father. He was waiting to see what they would do. And they must have passed muster because He says, and I will pray the Father and He shall give you another comforter. Com means with and forte means strength. Comforter. With strength. He'll give you somebody else to give you strength. And how long? That He may abide with you forever. There will be no going to the cross for the Holy Spirit. There will be no leaving us. Glory to God. He says, for my disciples, I will send the Comforter and He'll be with you forever. Even, verse 17, the Spirit of Truth. We've all already discussed last week about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Truth, then, is still on this planet now via the Holy Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit only deals in truth. If you want to know the truth of a matter, even better than getting eyewitness accounts, you go to the Spirit of Truth so you can get the truth. It is much more reliable than prejudiced people telling you their story. Even the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit will never lie. Did you hear that? Since He's the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit will never lie. Then what happens when someone who says they are prophesying in the name of the Lord and it is not true? Well, it can't be the Spirit of Truth. It's got to be another spirit. And I know it might sound harsh, but I'm way up over, I know I'm short, but I'm way up over my ears listening to false garbage. And the people that flock to the garbage that is out there, and it wearies me, to be honest with you. But the Holy Spirit is truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world can't get what believers get via the Holy Spirit. You cannot get the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit while you're living in sin. You can't do it. This is Jesus saying this. I'm just explaining what Jesus said. The world cannot receive it. We talked about it last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. And this is some of the greatest phrasing here. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. But that's not the end of the story. He shall be in you. Hallelujah. They were blessed by walking with Jesus. But once the Holy Ghost comes, he won't just be with them, he'll be in them. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to jump down to verse 26, if you will. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Friends, we live in a sick, violent, nasty world. And we need somebody to strengthen us. To come alongside. Hallelujah. I've told this story. These guys that change churches every 7 years or something like that, they got it made, man, because all of their old stories are not repeats to the people they're preaching to. I had a dear cousin. She was just a little older than I, age of my brother. And she had gotten a strange form of cancer in her throat. She was receiving treatment for it. And while she was receiving treatment for it, her father died, my uncle. Very wonderful, godly man, Uncle Laverne. He passed away. And it was very difficult. Deb and I were out here. We were unable to make it back and felt bad about that. And so my cousin's name is Lori. And Lori's a very strong person. Very athletic, always worked out in the barn with her dad. So she's receiving treatment. She has to drive to Rochester to the hospital there. She's not supposed to drive during this treatment, so she brings her daughter with her, and her teenage daughter, and her daughter drove her to the hospital. When they got out of the treatment, she said, "Listen, Christy, I'm feeling good. I'm going to drive home." "Mom, are you sure?" She says, "Yes, I'm going to drive home." Now, my aunt, Nancy, who just turned 94, all right, she had just lost her husband. And on the way home from Rochester, going to their home in Oakfield, something happened to my cousin. And whether it was an aneurysm, we really don't know. But what she did is cross the center line of the road and ran headlong into a semi-trailer. And semi-tractor trailers versus a car is no match. And totally crushed the car. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but they do figure my cousin was dead before they hit the truck. But except she's got a teenage daughter next to her. And I've told you that story too, how God miraculously saved her from death. They thought she was dead as well and thought she'd never come back. But she's a wonderful lady now and has children, married and has children and so forth. God is faithful. But when my aunt, who had not recovered at all from the death of her husband for however many, many years they had been married, she got the news that Lori had died and Chrissy was in very, very critical condition. She went, I don't know how to describe it. Not necessarily comatose, Doc, I'm not sure what you would call it. Something. She didn't respond. Her eyes were up. But she was incapacitated in every way. And she had gone into her bedroom and sat on the bed, and you could go like this with her. There's this nothing happening. And her other children tried to get her to come out, but it was just the weight of this thing hit her with such force that she did not know. This is a godly woman. This is a spirit-filled woman. And this happened to her. And this went on, not for minutes, but for hours. They called my mother, who is her sister, and said, "Maybe you could come." And so my mom went in. They're the only sisters in the family. My mom went in there and tried to talk to her. Nothing. And I thank God that my parents knew who the Holy Ghost was.
So my mother, at the end, said, well, I can't reach her. I can't get in there to reach her. She sat on the bed. And she said, Lord God, help my sister. And the Spirit came upon my mom, and she began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave her utterance. And very quietly, not loud or anything, she just let the Spirit flow. And after a few minutes, oh, hallelujah, my mom wasn't speaking in tongues alone. Spirit of God came in and began to minister to my aunt as well. Hallelujah. We've got a comforter, my friend, that the world has no idea. He can get to you in your darkest moment, in the deepest cave, 500 feet into a coal mine. The Spirit of ours can reach you. Hallelujah. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, which is very interesting, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. This is why when you open your Bible, you have read the verse time and time again, but the teacher sits now next to you. You open it for the 100th time, and he says, I want you to learn this. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. This gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was not written on the memory of the disciples. It was written on the memory of the Holy Spirit. These guys didn't sit down on what did Jesus say here? What? No. The Holy Ghost brought things to their remembrance. Whatsoever I have said, Jesus is saying this, whatsoever I have said unto you. I often wondered if there was a recorder in the group. Someone who was tasked to take notes and that kind of thing. But I don't know if they knew Jesus well enough. They didn't have any unless one of the women did it. Because you know the guys just are not going to do that. Oh, I'll remember. All right, skip down a chapter. I'm going a whole chapter now to John 15 and verse 26. 15:26. Jesus says, but when the Comforter is come, you notice how Jesus uses the word Comforter a lot for the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, what's he calling again? Even the Spirit of truth. Jesus is trying to drive home a point here, which proceedeth from the Father. So think of this clearly. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, will come from the Father because of Jesus, and He will bring truth. Because the Spirit proceeds from the Father, and He shall testify of Me. He will point us to Jesus. I hear this nonsense. You people are too much Holy Spirit. That is ignorance talking. Because the Holy Ghost always leads us to Jesus. And then the next chapter down, John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus will always tell you the truth. The Holy Ghost will always tell you the truth. They will not be harsh about it, but they will be direct. Jesus was direct. He wasn't mean or nasty, but He was direct. And the Holy Ghost will be, if you'll let Him, He'll be direct with us. And say, man, issues here, boy. Listen up. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. John 16:7. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. I often thought, if what was different if Jesus never ascended to the Father? What if He continued to live here on earth? And what Jesus said, there's a better plan than that. And that is that if I go away, I will send the Comforter. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. We would be limited. We would be limited to the physical presence of Jesus. But because the Comforter has come, it is the glory of God is like how the seas cover the world. The Spirit of God can be everywhere.
at all times. Hallelujah. But if I depart, if I leave you, I will send him unto you. I am sure as he's telling these guys this, that they're not getting it. They're just like, I know Thomas didn't get it for sure, but I have a feeling. Verse 8, John 16, 8. And when he has come, the Holy Spirit has come, what will he do? He will reprove the world of sin. In essence, he will show what is sin. You never need to be ignorant of these people. Hey, can a Christian do this? I suppose. Is there anything wrong with this? And it's like, you're just trying to get away with something to get me to approve it. And that kind of, well, Pastor said, don't get me into your sin. Listen, if you're in something and you're not sure, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll show you what is sin and what's not. He is the master discerner. He knows the left from the right. He knows up from bottom. He knows everything. And he will tell you the truth. He's going to reprove or convict the world of its sin. These folks that have a sinful lifestyle make him believe they don't know that it's sin. Baloney. The Holy Spirit is here. He'll show you what sin is. That's why you feel wicked. That's why you try to cover up your sin. That's why you're one way when you're alone and with this group, but when you're with other people, you're different. Uh-huh. That's because the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin. Because he also reproves the world or proves what is righteousness, what is right, what is good. We have to have some kind of a moral base. If we don't, we're anarchists. Nobody wants to live like that, trust me. And the Holy Spirit, then, is the reprover of sin and of righteousness. He shows what is good and right, and of judgment or justice. The Holy Spirit does that. Of sin, because they believe not on me. I don't want to go too deep into this, but don't tell me you love God and you don't believe in Jesus. I don't care, Mr. Jew, how many times you've been lied to by your ancestors. Don't tell me you love God and yet you don't believe in Jesus. Can't happen. And I know you say, oh, that's such narrow thinking. It might be narrow thinking, but it's the same thinking that Jesus has. His way is narrow. His way and gate is narrow. It is not wide. And so he convicts them of sin because they believe not on me. That included the high priest, Caiaphas. It included the priests. I'm not going to go down that road, but I'm going to preach it sometime very soon. Why they chose Barabbas over Jesus. It's an amazing thing. But of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Jesus is the example of righteousness. Jesus, while he was here on earth, is the example of righteousness. The Holy Spirit will put Jesus' righteousness in us and will show us what is righteous and what is not righteous. You and I can live righteous lives via the Holy Spirit showing us, directing us, and guiding us. We can live righteous lives unto the Lord. If we'll just stop and wait on the Holy Spirit, He'll tell us and He'll show us. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He says, I'll show you justice. Hallelujah. How does hanging on that cross on our behalf justice? I don't know, but I'm sure glad he did. But understand this, that the prince of this world is already judged. There is already a place prepared for him. And it is the lake of fire. And you need to remind the devil when he comes against you, I know your future. And I don't need a crystal ball or anything else. I know your future. Your future is in the lake of fire. You've been judged unworthy of the presence of God. And you're done. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. This is very interesting. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Full colon. And He will show you things to come. We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit here. We talk about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. One of the major things is that this Holy Spirit dwelling within you will prepare you for things to come. You do not have to consult witches or any of the other garbage in this world. You don't have to go to a so-called prophet to get a word. If you're Spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit will prepare you for things to come. A Holy Ghost person is rarely surprised. Rarely surprised. Might get us once in a while, but the Holy Spirit, my father-in-law, went away. Someone happened, he says, "Oh, the Lord already showed me that." He might not blare it in your ears, but He'll give you this. It's like a mother who knows one of their children are in trouble. How do you know? I just know. Well, the Holy Ghost will show us things to come. We're coming down the pike. We don't need to. This world, I can't. This world is gambling crazy. And all gambling is betting on the future. What's going to happen in the future? Well, and I don't think the Lord likes that. So, but you don't ever have to do any of that. Just wait on the Lord and He'll show you the things to come. He'll show you where to go so you're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Giving glory to Him. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. For He shall receive of mine and will show it unto you. All things, are you there? All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Whatever you need to know, if you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, He will show you exactly what you need to know when you need to know it. And you can trust it explicitly. You can throw out what you see with your eyes or hear with your ears if you are tuned to the Holy Spirit. Because the devil will use your eyeballs and say, that can't happen, that's impossible. The devil will use your ears to say, listen, this is the way it is, ruin, destruction, and all that kind of stuff. Well, did the Holy Ghost say it? What's the Holy Spirit saying about this? Let's ask the Holy Spirit. We have wandered so far away from where we need to be in the church world. When a church in the old days, either a pastor felt the call to move on or he passed away or something, you know what they used to do? They would call a prayer meeting and say, let's ask the Lord to send us the proper person to pastor this church. What we do now is we send resumes to people in the district office that don't know the church themselves. They rifle through the resumes, and if they find any friends or somebody that they like to, they submit that and they should tell the church which pastor they should get. Without one day, without 1 hour on their knees before God, nobody's laying on their face before God, I guess they just think we run little businesses as pastors. But friends, pastors are far more important than any CEO in any company. And listen, we've better get on our faces and find the men of God that will serve the people of God to bring glory to our God. We need only called people. I don't want anybody, any hireling behind my pole. I want somebody that's been called by the Holy Spirit Himself, that they know that they know that they know that God has put His hand upon them. That's the kind of stakes that we need in our pulpits today. I'm disgusted by our total lack of trust in the Holy Spirit. And I'm sorry, I'm probably not making any friends, especially if anyone would happen upon this. I'm not here to make friends. I'm asking, though, the present state, spiritual present state of the church in America is absolutely pitiful. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to fast. We don't know how to preach. We don't know the Word. We have thrown the Word in the corner and changed it out for something else. My dear brothers and sisters, I know it's 2025, but what worked in year one will still work in year 2025. The message is the same, and I've got news for you. It's the same Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that descended into that upper room is here tonight. Hallelujah. He doesn't age. Let us never grow used to letting our lives be lived without the strength, power, and wisdom of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth. I'm going to repeat that. I want you to remember it. Let us never grow used to letting our lives be lived without the strength, power, and wisdom of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. We don't need less of the Spirit. You've heard me say this many times. We need a lot more of the Holy Ghost. We need more people, more young people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. What I've found in my limited experience is our young people today don't know how to praise the Lord out loud. They might know how to praise Him with their thumbs, but they don't know how to say out loud, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." They don't know how to glorify God with their mouth anymore. All our modern technology has taken words out of their mouth and put them in their fingers. What we need to teach our young people is that it's increasingly important not only to be saved, but to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because He's the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth. And you will get your way through this life by His direction. And the more of Him you got, the better off you are. It's not how much money you have. It's not much what your job is. It's how much Holy Ghost. Am I truly filled with the Holy Ghost or not? During David's time as king of Israel, had very strict policy. No idols. If they found idols, they would smash them and even sometimes kill the family that had them in the backyard. David was strict, strict, strict. When Solomon came to office, he asked the Lord, "Oh God." And the Lord said, "Solomon, what do you want?" And Solomon didn't ask for riches and stuff like that. He just asked that the Lord would give him wisdom to judge correctly His people. And Solomon then built the temple of God. And Solomon dedicated that temple unto God. Hallelujah. And the glory of God came in and God Himself said, "This is the place that I will dwell." You know, the glory moved in and they could not do any service in there because of the power of the Spirit of God that was there. But over the years, Solomon continued, because of his great wealth, continued to marry other people that did not necessarily know his God. This is a little advice. Not necessarily counsel, but it should be. Young men and young women, don't marry somebody who doesn't know your God. Do not think you're going to change him after you're married. They better know your God first. It's a little advice. Over time, Solomon, hundreds of women wanted to come under his covering, and he brought them in.
and what they hid in their suitcase, in the bottom of their makeup case. They had these little icons. And when he wasn't looking, they set them up on the fireplace. And maybe sometimes when he'd come in the room, they would take them down and hide them again. But the further in, they began to be more bold and leave them up even when Solomon came in. And over the years, false gods creeped in to Israel because somebody refused to stand watch. And it hurt the kingdom of Israel so badly that at the end of the reign of Solomon, they would never again be united. They divided. And the northern 10 tribes divided to the north, Judah and Benjamin to the south. And Israel and Judah would go on with their kings. And who kept creeping in? And pretty soon, the Baal worshippers weren't sneaking in the back door. They were coming in the front door. Until one of the kings of Israel, Ahab, married Jezebel, a sold-out disciple of Baal. And when she got in town, she said, "Honey, would you do something for me?" Jezebel must have been a looker, is all I've got to say about that. And he said, "What, honey? Could you raise some tax money? You guys got the temple over there for Jehovah, and those of us that, listen, you guys are okay, but those of us that really love Baal, we've got nothing. Could you build us a house for Baal?" Can you imagine if one of David's wives said that to him? Michael just made fun of him while he was dancing before the Lord, and he never touched her again. "Sure, honey. We're rich. Let's do it." And Israel got used to living with Baal. I'm driving at something. I think you might know where I'm headed. They just got used to Baal. Till this guy by the name of Elijah shows up. He says, "Y'all sinners, you're an abomination to the Lord God." Now, kings are not being used to being talked to like that. This is an abomination. And you know the story. I'm not going to go through the whole story of Elijah. But the whole thing blew up when Elijah showed up. You see, they thought Elijah was the bad guy because they had gotten so used to living with Baal. And they got along. Are you here tonight? They just got along. And they didn't, some of them might have not liked Baal, but they just got along. Even so much that when Elijah took them up to Mount Carmel and God answered with fire, and Elijah kills all the prophets of Baal, do you know that still Baal wasn't cut off? They had become, it became part of their culture. Baal worship was now part of the culture of Israel, the chosen people of Jehovah God, the one true God. But Baal had infected their culture. And so Elijah was the bad guy. So he's running for his life. He's the one called down fire from heaven, and he's the bad guy. And today, friends, if somebody trumpets that we're not following the Holy Ghost, we need to get back there, and they laugh at you, and that's why your church is small, and you don't know anything about ministry and all of that. Why? Because we've gotten used to Baal. The church has gotten used to doing church without the Holy Spirit. We know how to lay out an agenda for a church service. You sing two songs, you do this, you do that, you do the other thing. You have a few minutes where you have a conversation from the pulpit, and then you let the people out so they can go to the restaurant that you've built in the church. Without any unction from the Holy Ghost,
There's no, the speaker is more like a stand-up comedian and they dress like stand-up comedians. Because they don't think what they're doing is important enough. And we've gotten used to doing church without the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking about someplace else. This church, North Valley Assembly, we better never get used to doing church without the Holy Ghost. Help me, Jesus. Going through the motions is just that. Going through the motions is worthless. But when someone comes along and says, hey, this isn't Holy Ghost, this is man-made nonsense, you're the bad guy. You're the one that doesn't have any Christ love in you. Because you point out the obvious, you're serving Baal. And what is the difference between someone organizing, they call it a church, in order to get rich? And all that is ancient Baal worship. I know it's hard. But let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is greedy tonight. He's looking for a place that will let Him do His work. He wants to come to church with us. The Holy Ghost wants to be in this. Oh, He wants us to sing, surely the presence of the Lord. That's what He wants. He desires it. And He gets the door slammed in His face time and time and time again. And if anybody points it out, it's like what? The emperor's new clothes. If anybody points it out, they're the nutcase. They're too hard. Nobody can go there. Well, okay. We must get to the Holy Ghost. We must have Him. Not we should have Him. Not what we ought to have Him. We must have the Holy Ghost. In everything we do. It isn't optional, by the way. It's the Holy Ghost, not only is baptism, but Holy Ghost living as an integral part of the gospel as anything else. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not just for Pentecostals. It's for every believer. Bar none. Every believer needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Everyone. And if you're a true believer, you'll get there. And I don't care if you go to a fundamental Baptist church or not. If you truly love Jesus, the Lord will begin to deal with you in your private life. Because I know what Jesus wants. In the red letters, He says, I want you guys to have the Holy Ghost in you. I want you to be filled with power. Not an option for a small portion of the church world, but it is an absolute necessity for the whole church world. Yet we have attempted to replace Him with lights, loud music, gimmicks, and performances by talented people or not so talented people. And let me tell you, it might draw crowds here on earth, but it falls flat in heaven. You can use the name of Jesus. You can pray in His name. But if you have already chased the Holy Spirit out the door, you have nothing. I'll say it again in case you didn't hear me. You can use the name of Jesus. You can pray in His name. But if you have already chased the Holy Spirit out, you have nothing. How do I know that? Because the Spirit of truth is what Jesus left us with. And if you don't have Him, you don't have God. Are you here tonight? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have God. You can't get saved without the Holy Ghost because He convicts you of sin. He reproves the world of sin. We can't do anything. Oh, you use the name of Jesus and that's great. But if the Holy Ghost is not where you're at, the name of Jesus does not carry the power. Listen to me. You can say the name of Jesus all day long. If you are outside, I don't care. You can use His name. It's nothing. People use His name all the time in swear words. It has no meaning. But when you say the name of Jesus under the unction of the Holy Ghost, everything takes place. You can baptize folks in water. We have one so-called church in the valley, and for Easter, they're going to have three separate water tanks and all set up and hoopla and this and that. And I tell you, it is nonsense tonight. It isn't of the Holy Ghost. These guys make a mockery of people getting baptized, on big show and big splash and all of this nonsense. Listen, getting baptized in water is your death. You're dying. That's a solemn occasion. Where I'm saying I'm dead to this world. And when I rise up out of that water, hallelujah, I live for Jesus Christ and Him alone. That the Holy Ghost is not in your service when you're getting baptized. All you have done is gotten some people wet. Because nothing truly takes place in the spiritual realm. That's why so many people get baptized time and time and time again. One of your largest churches in this city just baptizes people ad nauseum for whatever, and they go back and back and back. Why? Because all they're doing is getting wet. Nothing is happening. Why? Because heaven's not there. The Spirit of God's not there. Hope I'm not being too hard. I'm not being any harder than Jesus. Listen, the Pentecostal church used to scare people. I mean, like if you were a total outsider and you walked into this church this morning, or you walked in late and you saw us laying hands on these people up here, I think it would scare you. Why? Because you got the devil in you. The Pentecostal church used to scare people. Well, as I said before, oh, let's make it comfortable in the center. No, I want them a little scared. I want them to know, I'm not sure what's going to happen in here. I want them to feel a force when they walk into those doors. It's like, ooh, maybe I don't belong here. Maybe this is a little too holy for me. What's going on here? The reason we used to scare people... Car accidents scare people too, but they always flock to see. Fires scare people, but people will come from miles around just to look at it. There are a lot of things that scare us, but there's an attraction to it. And if the power of the Spirit of God is in the house, yes, it will. That's why you're scared to bring some of your friends to this church, because you know they're going to be a little scared and you're going to have some explaining to do. But we scared people because there was power. The power that Ray talked about, that is greater than 220 volts raging through your body. There's some power that's great, hallelujah, that delivers from sin. Not just gets your sin forgiven, but delivers you from sin. Sets you free from the oppressor. That's scary from the fleshly point of view. But if you'll just take one step, hallelujah. There was a revival set of meetings that was going on, and it would last late into the night, and a young lady attended one of these meetings, and she went forward and got saved. And the next night she came and she went to the altar, and the power of God was there, and she was laid out before God, and she was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now listen. If you're a saved person, you can keep your mouth shut about Jesus. But once you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's real hard to keep your mouth shut. Her father was a drunk. Her mother lived in fear at all times, because when he would come home drunk, the beatings would happen. And this young lady came home and said, "Mom, I found it. I've got it." "What are you talking about?" "I found Jesus and I'm full of the Holy Ghost." "What does that mean?" She said, "Look at me. There's something, yeah, something's different about you. Mom, I want you to come." And so she snuck out of the house. Her husband had not gotten home from the bar yet. Left the dinner on the stove and went to church with her daughter. And the power of God was there. And that night that woman came and gave her heart to Jesus Christ. She wasn't scared in church that night. She was scared to go home, though, because she had left only her husband with dinner on the table. When she came home, he was ready for her. "Where have you been?" She goes, "I went someplace with our daughter. I went someplace with her." "Where'd you go?"
She goes, you really want to know? He said, I went to church. You went to church? Who do you think you are? Yada, da, 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 da. It was a long, long night. The next day, the daughter said, Mom, you need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. She said, I can't, man. Dad. Dad came home from work that night and said, you girls are not going anywhere. You're staying here. And it was a real fight. What would this woman do that had to cower against the bigger strength of her husband? She said, honey, I love you, but I'm going to go to church with my daughter. Well, if you walk out that door, it'll be locked behind you and you can't come. Okay. Was a marvelous outpouring of the Holy Spirit that night. People get saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it looked like somebody had shot the place up. People were laying all over the floor at the altar. And the glory of God had come. 9 o'clock comes and goes. The old man's like, he had another drink. And at 10 o'clock, his wife and his daughter are not home yet. 10:30 comes. They're still not home. He said, I'm going to take care of some business. He finds the church where they're at. It's the only place with lights still on. He finds the church. He walks in that back door. Where's my wife, big fella? Where's my wife? And the other says, sir, easy, easy. Who's your wife? I don't know her name, sir. He said, her name. He goes, she's right there in the middle aisle. Right there, down towards the Christ. She's right there. What'd you do, kill her? She's laying on the floor. What's wrong with her? At that moment, that woman was being set free from years of abuse. The Holy Ghost was going through her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. She had her hands in the air and speaking in other tongues. Yeah, I don't know again. He says, sir, don't do it. What do you tell me? I'll bust you in the mouth. He goes, listen. The glory of God is here. And sir, if you go up there, you could get hurt. Oh, yeah. Right. He marched down the middle of the aisle. A functioning drunk. You know functioning drunks? Functioning drunk. And so his wife was laying right there. And he got to about where Dale was sitting. And he marched, and he bent over to get her. And the eyewitnesses say, the first thing that touched on the ground was his rear end. He flew back. He didn't stumble back. It was like somebody picked him up and slammed him on the floor. He got back up and tried it again, and the same thing. And he's looking around, who's doing this to me? The third time he tried it, he stayed down, and God began to deal with him. About what a cruel man he had been. And how his drink had abused his family all of these years. And God would not let him up. It's none of this Benny Hinn stuff. You get him up and blow him back down. That guy stayed down. He was down for the count. He couldn't lift his arms. He couldn't lift his legs. Because the glory of God was setting on top of him. After about 20 minutes, they say, the small tears begin to form in this. He wasn't drunk anymore. And laying in the middle aisle of a Holy Ghost church, a drunk man, kind of like Ray, cried out to Jesus. And Jesus came. Listen, somebody ought to be scared to come to this church. Brent, it only took 4 days to create a brand new family. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. And why would we want to shut that down? Because some rich person comes in and says, I don't like to hear people speaking in tongues. Why? Why have we abused the Holy Spirit? Why do we say we like Him when we don't? Somebody might speak in tongues. Somebody might have the interpretation that reads your mail. I wrote this before this morning's message, by the way. And speak directly to you. Somebody might get anointed with oil and be healed, and they begin to shout about it. That's scary to a sinner. But hallelujah, it's wonderfully scary. And they begin to think, I wonder if this God is real then. I despise fakers.
posers, these charlatans that are on your television set that draw great crowds. Nobody's scared of them means. Give me some place where the power of God is, where sin cannot stay. Where the fire of the Holy Ghost is so hot that, listen, you can't stay who you are. You'll either run out the door. Matt says, listen, I want my church to do two things. Either you run to the altar or run out the door. The Holy Ghost might, through the preacher, deal with the person's sin. As the Holy Spirit directs it, it'll make some people squirm. That's scary. Then the Holy Ghost altar call, where He may do all kinds of different things with people there. I have seen it with my own eyes, that perhaps some of you have. One part of the altar that someone is rejoiced because they just got healed. Another part of the altar, people are weeping in tears of repentance. Someone else is getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Heaven came down and glory filled their soul. And there's nothing more beautiful than somebody breaking through under the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. Another part of the altar, someone is unloading their burdens. And another one is pleading for their unsaved loved one, happening all at once. If you'd come, Tim. Those kind of meetings are scary for the sinner and the fake both. The facade wearer. The one who looks righteous on the outside but isn't on the inside. The secret pedophile, scared. The secret business crook, scared. Because the Holy Ghost is a little scary until you get in cooperation with Him. But it's wonderful for those that want more of Jesus. For those that desire all that Jesus had planned for them, John 14:15-16, He says, my plan is for you boys to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Ghost comes, the gospel doesn't go. I said, if the Holy Ghost doesn't come, the gospel doesn't go. And if the Holy Ghost doesn't come in 2025, the gospel doesn't go. He's got to carry it. The Holy Ghost carries that. Jesus wants to renew power in His church. He wants the Comforter to come to church. He wants the Spirit of Truth to come to church. The Holy Spirit is so weary of us going through the motions. He's weary. He has to bow His head and walk away. Maybe the next place I stop at, they'll let me come in. Maybe at the next one. Maybe at the next one. The Holy Spirit is looking for places where He can operate and not be shunned, not be shut down because of time, not to be shut down because of other things going on in our heads. I'm done telling people about my church. I say we're a Holy Ghost church. What is that? Come and find out. I don't have time to mess and try to make things a little easier on people. The time has come. What this world, they may not know it yet, what they're starving for is the Holy Ghost. What they're starving for is somebody who has answers for them, and He has the answers. What they're starving for is somebody that can come and make them feel better on the inside. Because the alcohol hasn't done it. The drugs haven't done it. Their promiscuity hasn't done it. Their riches has not done it. Their power has not done it. They need something more. And the Holy Ghost is looking for a place to operate in your life, not just in the church. Because the church is just made up of people. The Lord is looking for a place to operate in our lives.
this evening, I'm just going to open the altars tonight. Are you willing to be a vessel of the Holy Ghost? Just as Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. One of his commandments is, tarry ye here until you be endued with power from on high. I know it was to the original disciples, but he's saying the same thing today. I want us to come. If that's you, it's your desire to be here. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost, come. Open your life to Jesus. Let him come in and fill you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are not currently filled up to the full of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, come tonight. He has something for us. He's not neglecting us. He hasn't forgotten us. Take some steps out of your chairs tonight. Find a place at this altar. Be refreshed tonight. Hallelujah. Come. Hallelujah. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, lift our hearts to you. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Sing the chorus. Jesus, fill these people with your Spirit, O God. Soto Ravaridi Alamatai. Walk with Jesus all